Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports on location.
Man, you're loud.
27. Uh-oh, now I'm gone.
Christmas. That's unbelievable.
As you can tell, Jim Travers along with us here. Barbara Dyson Ford celebrating 27 years today, to the date, July 1st, 1994, when Barbara Dyson Ford came into fruition. To celebrate that, also, they won a couple of customer service awards this year, the President's Award for the fifth time, also the Ford Elite One Award for the first time. David Dyson's going to be on with us in the next segment to talk about those awards. And as we all know, with the problems with COVID and here and there, it's tough to get vehicles, but they continued on that customer service all the way through. And that's the reason why their customers are so loyal. And there's going to be a bunch of them out here this afternoon celebrating 27 years and those two awards. I mentioned Jim Traber along with us. Jim, thanks so much for driving out.
Good to be out here in beautiful Elk City, and it looks like this reminds me of like a big barbecue. You had to turn me down, dude. I'm so loud, it's ridiculous. Looks like there's going to be like a bunch of food out here and food trucks. This is really cool.
Yeah, there's going to be multiple food trucks. One already setting up. Looks like Brown's is setting up in the parking lot. Maybe a little bit of breakfast ahead of the lunch that's going to happen. I know KECO Roland Radio Show will be here at 11 to 1 this afternoon, helping Barbara Dyson. And Cool 94.
And Cool 94, yeah.
There you go.
Those are all your stations?
All three.
Yeah, we're all three
here. Got here today.
That's really cool.
That's just how important David Dyson is right there.
Wow.
Got all three of us out here
Very
today.
Nice. That's because he's in the room. When he walks out of the room, we won't think he's as important, though, but that's okay. Hey, no, it is. It's really great to be out here. I appreciate everybody inviting me, and I love doing radio out here in far western Oklahoma, where you guys have been getting some rain, so that's good. And we're right next to the airport, huh?
Yeah, if you need to get somewhere fast this afternoon, we might have somebody to fly you there.
I fly in my Prius. My Prius is getting after it. I did have an idiot truck driver today. Dude came up on top of me at about 90 miles an hour, and I was like, what is going on? But then I pulled away from him because I was sick of him. But I wanted to slow down and see what it is, because I'm one of those crazy people that will call, like, the number.
Yeah.
Call this number if we're not driving well. Guess what? I'll call. Say, hey, this dude stinks as a driver. But I got out here safe, and I'm ready to go.
Last night, the Western Conference Finals, Game 6 in Los Angeles. The Phoenix Suns dominate the second half to move on to the finals. 130-102 was the final score. A guy that a lot of us know around here and really rooted for when he was with the Pelicans or the Hornets back then. Then last year here with the Thunder, Chris Paul, finally makes it to the finals. And he's a guy going into last night, he'd scored almost 2,500 points in the playoffs. He's been an 11-time All-Star, 10-time All-NBA guy, never made it to the finals. You know, there's some guys that haven't won titles. But before last night, I think there's a pretty decent chance that Chris Paul was the best guy to never even get to play in the finals. He was phenomenal in the second half with 31, scored 41, and he led his team there. How cool is it for that connection? And there's a bunch of other Thunder connections with that Phoenix Suns team to see those guys that have been trying to get over the top.
I mean, it really is cool. He's played over 1,200 games in the NBA, and he's had some tough ones, man. Of course, one of the toughest is when they were down 3-1 and he got hurt. They were up 3-1. And then they were up 3-1 in another one with the Suns and they lost, with the Clippers. But how ironic is it, how beautiful for him is that he did it in Los Angeles for the team that, got rid of him. And he talked afterwards about his family. And I really believe some people kind of play up the family thing to look good. I really believe he's a really good family guy. I know some people that kind of are around out there in Los Angeles that kind of know a little bit. And he really is. And if you're listening to me, I had a man. I developed a man crush on the guy when he was here. I mean, what is the difference between him and like a Russell Westbrook? You watch Russell Westbrook for 11 years, and then you watch him for one, and you go, gosh, I wish we had him instead of Russell Westbrook for 11 years. But, yeah, I'm really happy for him. And then he just lights it up. 41 points. And the Beverly thing was just beautiful. We can talk about that later. But, I was really happy. And I'm so happy for Monty Williams. You know, I just can't imagine. We're all married and have families. I just can't imagine losing, you know, your wife and a child. I mean, I don't even want to think about it. And what he's had to come back from, they should have never gotten rid of him in New Orleans. I mean, let's face facts. And he's just, he knows what he's doing. He's so calm and collected and that out-of-bounds play and all the different things. So I'm really, and then you guys know I spent time out there in Phoenix. Hal McCoy, the guy who's the famous radio guy, he was in our booth all the time when I was with the Diamondbacks, one of the great dudes of all time in sports. And now they're going to go to the finals. First time, what, in 28 years? So that was really cool. And, of course, I just don't like the Clippers very much. I just don't like some of the guys on their team. But I give it up to them. They fought hard. You really got to give them credit without Kawhi Leonard.
Should Chris Paul right now, today, or even last night, go into COVID protocol by himself? Because he was hugging everybody last night without mask, with mask. I had my phone blowing up saying, he's got to stop hugging people because he's not going to play in the finals. They're going to get him for the COVID stuff.
Again, though? How many times can they put you in the daggone thing, you know? I thought it was really cool, guys. I really did. And I was happy for the organization, the team, and those guys on the team. So.
What's up with Patrick Beverley? Does he just like being the villain?
Well,
with that shove last night, that was ridiculous.
Well, that was really bad. And, see, he's one of those guys that we've heard our whole lives, even when we were little, if you're going to dish it out, you better take
it. That's right.
And he was talking tremendous smack that when he made that move on – it was a nice move we made on Chris Paul and went to the basket, turned right at him, started yelling in his face. Well, guess what? Chris Paul – the guy that he is, he just said one little something under the breath that we don't know, and he got all mad. Look, Beverly, if he's one of those guys, if he's on your team, you like him, blah, blah, blah. But he has had an amazing – when they went over his career and what happened to him by going to Russia and all these other things, finally getting a chance, he's an amazing story. But, yeah, he thrives on being the villain. But last night he went overboard and made himself look stupid, really. He really did. He looked really, really bad. I'm glad I don't have to watch the Clippers and the Nets anymore, because I think if all teams were healthy, I think we might have seen the Clippers and the Nets in the finals, Skinny.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, you'd asked the question on Monday about Paul George and,
yeah.
And how do we rate where he got to this playoff.
By the way, great question, I might add. Thank you very much.
And I think that the answer is different between Monday and today.
It's perfect. I mean, for people that don't know, I mean, I asked the question, has Paul George gotten rid of his, you know, stigma of, boy, he doesn't play well in the playoffs? And we came to the conclusion the answer is yes and no. Mm-hmm. And the last two games are perfect. Yes in game 5 and no in game 6, because I don't know what he was doing last night. He was so passive. He was standing in the corner. When does your number one player on your team just stand in the corner and let Patrick Beverley and dudes handle the ball? I mean, that was – I don't think they win because I think the Suns just rolled. But you got to go down with a better effort. And then after the game, the things that he said were just – I mean, yeah, we all know you didn't have Kawhi Leonard. You might have won without him, with him. You might have lost. We don't know. We had a bunch of better chance. But you don't have to say all that, man. I mean, just – Paul, I really like Paul George. I really do. I liked him when he was here. I think I had a little bit of a connection with – he has daughters like me and stuff, and I could tell that he really loved his daughters. That's why it's disgusting that the Thunder won't let people come on, because I think if he would have come and done a show with me, I think that would have been one of the greatest shows ever done. Mm-hmm. Not because of me, just because I think we could have had a nice connection. Having said all that, he does say stupid things at times where you're just like, what? You know, what? The playoff P and all that. So, but I'll tell you, he did play some great games this playoff.
I said this yesterday, and I was reminded over the weekend or Monday night, I guess, is when about Paul George. Everybody forgets about that tremendous injury that he had in Vegas getting ready for the Olympics. And where he's come from there to now, I don't think he gets enough respect for that.
You know why? Because the injuries aren't as big now as they used to be. I mean, look at Kevin Durant. If he'd have done that 20 years ago, I mean
– oh, he's done.
Yeah, he's probably done. But with technology and what the doctors can do and these athletes – look, I'm going to tell you something, guys. I've seen a lot of bad injuries close to me. I mean, I saw a dude's bone come out of his skin. I mean, I've seen some pretty wicked injuries. That knee injury that Antetokounmpo had the other night, I said on the air yesterday, he hyperextended it and then hyperextended it again. I mean, it was unbelievable. And he has no structural damage? These guys nowadays, fellas, first of all, they're the greatest athletes in the world. They have all these different – workout regimens and things that make their bodies into things that have never been done before. So I just think that these athletes nowadays, they're just amazing. It used to be, oh, you may never walk again. Well, now these dudes are playing basketball. And I think back to your point with Paul George, no one ever talks about it because does he look like he had that kind of injury?
No.
It really is amazing what these guys' bodies nowadays can do and then get back to being able to do again.
How much do you think that the questions about Paul George stem from some of that stupid stuff he says? I mean, we all remember the Dame Lillard shot, and then he goes immediately in there and says it was a bad shot. Well, how can you say that when he just knocked it down in your face?
Yeah.
Then, of course, last night, if we had Kawhi, we're in the finals. It just as likable as he is,
yeah,
it almost seems like he kind of clams up and doesn't know what to say, and
you're
then
right.
Just reverts to a little bit of a childish answer at times.
You're right. He doesn't know what to say. You know, Cal Ripken Jr., I know people think I have a man crush on him. I do. I think he's a great man. I was very close to him. But he always used to say that whenever he was asked a question, he would always try to count to five.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure – by the way, I did not do this. Okay? I'm just telling you. But as I've gotten older, I've learned a little bit more, you know. By the way, everyone's surprised that I hadn't been thrown off the air during all the COVID thing. Think about this. My partner, Tom Brenneman, gone. My good friend, Bob Brenly, got in trouble, and I didn't. If you'd have said that 2 years ago, you'd have won $1 billion. But anyway, I forgot what I was going to say. What were we talking about?
Cal Ripken.
Cal Ripken. Cal Ripken would say, you know, I count to five so that I make sure I know what I'm going to say. And just a quick five inside. Paul George needs to learn that because he says some things that are just beyond belief. And you know what? Then the other guys on the team, like Boogie Cousins, are like, it's really unfair how people talk about Paul George. Well, tell him to shut up. It's his own fault.
Yeah.
You know, Paul George could be such a lovable guy. Because, right, didn't we all really like – we embraced him. But, man, the playoff P thing was just – what the heck was that? Was he sitting around with a couple of his rapper friends and say, hey, what would be my name? You know, and they, I mean, I don't know how that happened. But he did play really well at times. But the reason why he's not a, quote, superstar is because of his inconsistency. You look at Middleton, it's the same way.
Right.
If you're going to be a superstar, you'll have some bad games. But you're going to, for the most part, get after it every game. And he just doesn't do it, like last night.
The count to five thing, I think we could benefit from talking to our wives.
Absolutely.
As I see your wife over there. Yeah,
nobody, absolutely.
I think we could.
There's Mrs. Skinny. Hi, Mrs. Skinny. How you doing? The difference is she is skinny and you're not. Okay? I mean, look at that. I mean, that is like if you two stand next to each other, it's the number 10. The 1 and 10. Look at y'all. Very nice.
How much did you know there at the end, after it was over and Chris Paul was talking about his choice, how much did you know about the respect that he, and then they even mentioned Kobe later on, had for Devin Booker as a young guy in the league?
I didn't really know all about all that, but I got to tell you, I don't know if you guys remember this. I ended up being wrong. You know me, I like to make predictions, and you're wrong on some, you're right on some, but when Chris Paul went to the Phoenix Suns, I said that day on the radio, Devin Booker will lead the league in scoring. And he didn't, but I'll tell you what, he's at that level. I mean, he is an amazing basketball player. And, gosh, I got to give it up to myself.
I was just about the mask.
On the radio, what did I say yesterday? I said, he needs to take that mask off and just get out. And he did.
Yes.
I should drop the mic and drive back home. That was impressive that I said that. But, anyway, Booker is so good, isn't he?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, he's so good. I love the way he plays. Beverly was killing him last night talking to him. Did you see him?
Mm-hmm.
Nice and calm. Nothing. I think Chris Paul's helped with that. I think, see, you bring in some dude like Chris Paul, and he just makes everybody around him better. And then you saw that meeting they were having on the sideline during the commercial, and Chris Paul was talking, and then Booker started talking, and Chris Paul let him talk.
Yeah.
That is big. You don't understand. People don't understand the inner doings of a team.
Yeah.
And that stuff is so important. You guys know I'm a big mental guy, man. I mean, I know people think I'm mental, but the mental aspect of sports – to me, is just as big as the physical. And I think that Phoenix, between Monty Williams and Chris Paul and now Booker moving up. Because Chris Paul, how long is he going to play? But you know what's going to happen when Chris Paul leaves? Booker is going to be that guy. You mark it down. I love the kid. Love him.
Well, speaking of how long Chris Paul, here's the good news. They're in the finals. The bad news is if they win it, is he retired? Does he stick around?
Nah,
I mean, how long can he stay there in Phoenix and be a part of this?
That's another thing. You know, we talked about the injuries. Age is different now, too. I mean, look, you saw all during this playoffs, and you'll see in the finals, he only plays short spurts until the end.
Yeah.
You notice 5 minutes into the game, he's gone. Here comes pain. You don't do that normally with your star. But they know. Monty Williams knows he's older. You got to give him like that. But I think he's a brilliant dude. I think he knows. I think he's a great marketer. I think he's going to say, I want a five-year deal for $100 million and get rid of my 40-something. That's a great deal. I would do that in a heartbeat. Wouldn't you guys do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'd do that in a heartbeat. And if the end of the deal isn't that good, at least you got a couple years for less than the $47 million or whatever. So I think he's got two or three good years left.
Did you have any problem? Because I know back in the football season when Andy Dalton got his head taken off by the Washington guy, with what happened last night with Patrick Beverley, did you have any problem with his teammates not necessarily coming? I mean, it came to his defense, but not like you would expect. Or with the history of the Phoenix Suns in the playoffs, we all remember 2007 against the Spurs. Amari Stoudemire comes off the bench, gets suspended, trying to protect Steve Nash.
Won.
And they probably go to the finals if
You're
that
right.
doesn't happen. So, you know, at one point I'm thinking, God, where were they at to get in Beverly's face
that's
and punch
old
somebody?
People.
Yeah,
but it's different now.
That's right, because instead they win. And, oh, by the way, everybody can play in game one of the finals.
Skinny, you're right on the money. And I really didn't even think about that aspect of it. But they did a perfect job of handling it.
Yeah.
Let Beverly look like the idiot. Excuse me. This is what my mom and dad used to say to me when I was young. Let them be the bad guy. Of course, I would have fought. That would have been me. But, it was beautifully handled. Beverly looks like an idiot. Everybody's ready to play in game one. They're going to get some extra rest. You know that they're hoping, not hoping, but they're hoping that maybe they get an extra game, a little bit more rest. So I think it last night was the if yesterday at this time we were talking and you said, what would be the perfect night for the Suns? That would have been it. Chris Paul plays the greatest game of his career in the playoffs. They win big. They look classy,
yep.
And they're ready to go. Can't ask for any more. And I know, like I said, Hal McCoy and those dudes out there, they just got to be ecstatic about what's going on.
I think
on.
A big part why the response the way it was is because where it was in the ballgame.
Oh, for
they
sure.
They were leading by a bunch, and they knew that we got him. They were frustrated. We got him. We don't need to do anything. He's out of here. We wrap this up.
What should happen to Beverly?
That's a great question because you would think he should have to have some sort of suspension starting the next year.
I think 10 games. I'd give him 10 games for next year. Well, that was horrible.
It was absolutely.
You could have really hurt him.
He could have because he didn't see anything coming.
Yeah, I mean, when your body's just limp and you're natural, that's when you get hurt. You know, when you're ready to go, it's okay. But from behind, I mean, he could have done something bad to the guy. What if he'd have pushed him and, like, hurt his back?
Yeah.
And he couldn't play?
Right.
I mean, what would happen then? I mean, Beverly, really, you can't – they're so sissified nowadays, these stupid flagrant fouls where, by mistake, your hand touches the guy's face. Oh, that's a flagrant foul. That right there, that should be 10 games.
Yep. And I think that what we're going to see at some point next year, and I promise you, everybody's going to be looking at the schedule to see the first time Phoenix and the Clippers play, if Beverly's still there, because that is when the retribution will happen. To him, you know, I keep thinking of that play when he was at Houston when Steven Adams just laid him out on that screen. Somebody is going to do that to him in the regular season where it doesn't mean as much if you get in trouble.
And again, I'll say I think he's a great story, and he is the villain like you asked here. That's what he is. He's a villain. But give it up to the man. He's made himself millions of dollars doing this, so congratulations to him. And if he doesn't do all the stupid stuff, he's a valuable piece.
Absolutely.
Now, I will tell you this. And this is something we've talked about for a long time. He's not any good one-on-one defense. Did you see when he was covering Booker and Booker went by him and slammed
Absolutely.
It two times? He just is he's a pest. He can get in your face. He gets right up on you. But when it comes right down to it, he's not covering dudes one-on-one. They're going by him.
That's right. He away from the ball is when he does his best work because he gets away with all that little pesky
That's
stuff
right.
that makes everybody mad.
That's exactly right.
Coming into tonight, Eastern Conference Finals, tied 2-2, back at Milwaukee. Giannis is out. Trae Young, Clint Capela now is questionable. You know, I heard those guys talking this morning, and I couldn't have disagreed anymore. The stars are out. It's harder to replace Giannis for Milwaukee than it is Trey
right.
for the Hawks. But everybody else, I feel like Milwaukee's other guys, you know, Middleton, if you just go one-on-one, Middleton with the Hawks second best, blah, blah, blah,
right, right.
down the list. I think the Bucks have the better roster and have the better chance to win because Atlanta doesn't have consistency from their guys. Having said that, though, Middleton hasn't been that great either, consistent-wise. When
and
he's great, he's
Holiday.
Great. And Holiday hasn't been very good either. So how does in a game without those two, how do you kind of handicap it?
Well, I think what you're saying is right. I think Lou Williams is closer to Trae Young than anybody they can take off the bench in Milwaukee for Antetokounmpo. But you're right. I mean, it's so hard to predict who's going to play well. I mean, Middleton is just up and down and up and down. And I don't know what's wrong with Jrue Holiday. I love the kid, and he's playing terrible. So you would think that Milwaukee, especially if Capella doesn't play, you would think that Milwaukee would win, but I don't know. This is a mind-boggling season. It really is. The playoffs, and I know everybody's saying, well, they played too many games in a short period of time. Some of these injuries have nothing to do with that. I mean, Antetokounmpo, Trae Young stepping on the referee, that ain't got nothing to do with any of that.
Yeah.
So I do think I see a little bit of, some guys that are maybe a little tired and worn out. But I these injuries have been freak injuries for the most part. It hadn't been because they're tired.
See, that's what I had on the list. How much has that compacted schedule affected some of these injuries? But here's my thing. What about the 4 months between March and July last year that they got off,
right.
and you play 2 months and then you get 2 months off and then play? I mean, I think that's just an easy way to try to explain something
always
that's
excuses.
Unexplainable. Yeah.
Always excuses. And here's the other thing. The Players Association, I know all about it in baseball, they always look for edges. They always look for what can we say, what can we do. And this is a perfect one. Oh, you're working us too hard. Next time they get into a negotiation, they're going to go, well, look what we did for you guys, right? The whole league lost money, and we played crazy schedules for you.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to make it up. I know everything is for a purpose with a union. Trust me. And I think that there's a lot of that going on spread out. But I don't know, man. This will be my partner Matt Ravis said yesterday that he thinks this could be asterisk. I don't think that. I think that people will talk about this as a crazy year.
Mm-hmm.
I do. But and by the way. What if you'd have bet the finals of the Suns and the Hawks? I mean, you could have made thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that'd have been pretty nice to have that book that Biff had and Back to the Future 2.
That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable you brought that up because on this trip, my grandson was watching that in the hotel room, and I sat down. I started watching. I forgot about Biff's book.
Yeah.
I would love that book.
Yeah, it would be nice, and I'm afraid that I would use it for evil just like he did instead of using it for good the way you could.
Yeah.
Barber, Dyson, Ford celebrating not only 27 years in business, but also a couple of customer service awards that they have been awarded. That didn't sound right, did it? Kind of got myself tongue-tied, didn't
I'll
it,
take
David?
It. I'll take it.
Joining us now is David Dyson. David, fifth time for the President's Award, the Ford Elite One Award for the first time. Tell us what those encompass and how did you guys earn those?
Well, thank you very much. And the President's Award is there's 3,300 dealers nationwide. About 10% of those dealers win that award. So we're one of 300, plus dealers, and that's a true honor. That's a customer service award. When you buy a new vehicle, when you get your vehicle serviced, everybody gets surveys, and they tell, how their experience was, how my people took care of them, and that's how you win the President's Award with outstanding customer service. The One Ford Elite Award, they break those dealers down into groups nationwide, so about 30 out of 3,300 win both awards, and we were honored to do so.
It's looking out here, it's not the amount of trucks. This is the truck headquarters, has been for 27 years here in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, but it's hard to get trucks. But how important is that to you, though, that your people controlled what they could control with the great customer service and being valued like the way they are with these awards?
We've got a great team. It's huge. I mean, you can buy a vehicle anywhere, but you can't buy great customer service, and we pride ourselves on that. My team does a great job. We have unbelievable customers over the past 27 years. We've been very blessed. Yes, vehicles are hard to come by. I mean, new trucks are scarce. They're trying to get those chips put in every day and get them to us faster, and we've been blessed to have a huge inventory of used vehicles, and we've done very well with that. But our customers have been patient. Our employees have been just unbelievable with those customers and taking care of them, and we're going to keep doing so. We've got vehicles, folks, so come see us. We'll put you in the vehicle of your dreams.
David, talk about customer service. It's a big deal, and that comes from good employees. Talk about your employees. I feel like every time I walk in here, I'm a friend with everybody because they're saying hi to me, calling me by my first name, shaking my hand, asking me how my family is. It's a real personable atmosphere. Talk about how good your employees are here.
Well, they're unbelievable. We've got guys and gals that have been here 25 plus years. I mean, they love their job. They love taking care of people. We take good care of them, and they stay with us for a long time. That's their goal. I think these folks get out of bed every day and just want to make somebody's life a little better. You know, when you come into my service department with your vehicle, you're probably not very happy because something's broken. And through this pandemic, parts are just as hard to come by as vehicles are, just like everything else. So that doesn't help anything. But they do a great job of we either get you in something to drive while we've got your vehicle, we'll take you home. We just try to make your life easier.
What else is going on? Obviously, Jim's here with us today, but the celebration is just beginning here at Barber Dyson Ford. Tell everybody what's going to be happening the rest of the day.
Yeah, we're going to have lots of great food. You see a food truck right there in front of us, Brown's Grill setting up. We've also got Kevin Brimage and Pacific Brim. We've got Darren Dupree's bringing by 100 pulled pork sandwiches from Blue Mountain. Hank Twyman and Rogers Meat Market's bringing up a ton of sausages. So we're going to have great food, a lot of drinks. We got games. We got bouncy house for the kids. We're just going to have a fun time today until this is for our customers. You know, thank you to my employees for taking care of those guys and gals, but this is for the customers. This is customer appreciation.
Now, you got a nice, quiet, dark place with a bed after I eat all that food. I can take a nap.
You better believe it. That's
what I need.
Yes, we'll fix you up. I appreciate you being here.
Hey, listen, I appreciate what I came on the air the other day, and they said, Jim Traber brought to you by Barber Dyson Ford. I was like, yeah, man, I appreciate that very much.
Absolutely.
I'm really excited to be a part. What a beautiful building you got out here, and thanks so much for welcoming me and letting me come out here today.
Absolutely. I probably should have had you park the Prius out back, but I didn't catch you in time. But,
sorry, man. I apologize.
Not a problem. Not a problem. But thanks for coming. We do. We have a great facility. We just made a bunch of new changes in our service department. I don't know if you our late friend, Mr. Charles Kalk, Skinny's dad, we just lost him recently, and yeah. Charles worked for us for a long time.
Okay.
Great service guy. He was one of those guys that kind of got this thing started, and I appreciate that. But we just spent a bunch of money tearing walls out, mm-hmm. and making our customer service better. So come see us. We'd love to show you around.
Yeah, I noticed that there's a door and kind of an opaque wall there where he used to sit right before he left. Probably needed that back then, to be quite honest.
Well, you know, in when we moved in this thing in 2000, there's a closet in the back hallway that we actually were going to put him in. But no, I'm just kidding. He was a great guy. We loved having him. He was here with us probably 15 years or so.
Yeah,
so,
94 till 2006,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah,
five.
I guess so. Yeah, yeah, longer than that, 20 years. But, yeah, we had a great time. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
David, tell us where you're at, and for those who are listening who probably don't know.
We're right next to the airport, so if you need to fly in, just give me a shout. I'll run over and pick you up in a golf cart. We're right here at 501 East Highway 66 in Elk City. We've been out here 20 years, and we're going to have a lot of fun today, so I hope everybody will come by, eat some good food, you know, talk to some of the team members, and if you're looking for a vehicle, we'll help you with that as well.
All right, David, thank you so much for having us out.
Thanks,
appreciate it. And
thanks,
and listen, Dave's too
thanks,
nice
David.
To tell this over the air, so I will. Kids, when you get here, don't Patrick Beverly anybody into the bouncy house. We got plenty of time, plenty of space. Everybody will have their turn.
I did that when I was young. I beat Beverly to the punch many times.
David Dyson, Barber Dyson Ford, yeah, 27 years. It's pretty cool how it is literally 27 years to the day when they opened back over on 3rd Street. All right, Jim, yesterday was the last day for Mike Holder up at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
48 years as an employee at OSU. He played golf there as a walk-on. I don't think that, Trammell's article talking about is he the most important employee in the history of the school. Here's the deal. You lived kind of both of those lives, the pre-Mike Holder AD a little bit sketchy on the facilities and whatnot, and now we get to be able to see what has happened. First off, how proud does that make you as a, you know, a former player, an alumni of the baseball program, to see what he's helped develop up there?
Boy, I could talk about Mike Holder for a long time because he's a very interesting guy. You know, he, first of all, I've never met a man that loved that school more than him, ever. I mean, or woman, nobody. I mean, he loves that school. And that article Barry Trammell wrote was just great because you got, like, that guy from W.W. Steele and some other guys that never gave a penny to the school until Mike Holder said, you need to give money. And what he did for this school is unmeasurable, immeasurable. The football, obviously, Boone Pickens was a huge part of it, but he's the one that brought him in. You go from that golf course to the to the football field and now the baseball field. You know, all the different things that have happened up there. But I think that one of the main things is that he really put Oklahoma State on the map nationally because a lot of people 20, 25 years ago, they knew who they were, but they were like, yeah, whatever. But Oklahoma State has really grown all around. You know, I mean, there was other people that helped. Eddie Sutton, obviously Mike Gundy has been a big part of it. My boy Gary Ward was a huge part of it. But Mike Holder really is the number one guy. And, you know, he's a different dude. I mean, you know, I've known him for 30-something years now. And when you first meet him, he's kind of standoffish. He's not like this big, you know, gregarious, hey, how you doing kind of guy. He's just kind of, you know, and some people are turned off by that. But once you get to know him, you see that his incredible love for the school and his job and what he does, him and his wife are just wonderful, and they're going to miss him. I love Weiberg a lot. I mean, I've known him also for a long time, but Mike Holder really turned this school around. He really did. He turned Oklahoma State around.
Big topic we talked about is this, Mike Holder and, you know, everything that he's established. The reason OU has had this long establishment of good athletics is because it's been the same guys there and coaches there for the long amount of time, Stoops and so forth and so on. As an alum, how nervous does it make you feel to see Mike Holder move on? You have Dr. Shrum, I believe it is, coming in to continue that momentum that Mike Gundy has going right now with the football program. Just got the new baseball stadium built and trying to build that up and get to a World Series level. Does it make you a little nervous? Are you hoping that continues? I mean, how does it make you feel?
I don't really know a lot about the new president. She obviously, from what I understand, loves the university too. And Weiberg, I mean, I think he's going to be great. I'm not nervous. I just know that sometimes you set the groundwork and no one can mess it up. Yeah. And I think that's the way it is right now. But if they come in and they don't continue to do what's been happening, they're going to fall behind. You know, it's an arms race. I mean, it's just an arms race. The next thing they got to do is get a softball stadium. Yeah. I mean, they have to do it. I mean, you know, my boy, gosh, I've loved getting to know him, Gajewski. Mm-hmm. I just love that guy. I really do. He's just the best. But he's getting this program to a high level, and OU is getting ready to build a big old stadium. OSU needs to build a really nice stadium for softball because they got a chance to fight for a national championship. So I think they're going to continue to do it. You're always a little bit skittish, but I think they're going to be okay because I think Mike Holder and Burns Hargis did a really nice job. I think that they really set the groundwork of, hey, this is the way we do it. Let's keep doing it. And I think it's going to be interesting to see if they can go find a couple more O'Brates or Boone Pickens. Maybe not that level, but can they find a couple other people that are willing to give a couple $1 million? That's going to be the key because I always talk about this. It used to be – I used to talk about this on the radio all the time. If you gave $50,000 20 years ago at Oklahoma State, you were Big Daddy.
Yeah.
If you gave $50,000 at OU 20 years ago, you was like, okay, thank you so much. Now it's the number's going up, you know. So can OSU find five more guys that are willing to give $500,000 or more? That's the kind of guys you got to find. I think they are out there. But remember, I mean, it's an ag school for the most part, you know. There's not, you know, some are lawyers and doctors and stuff, but they didn't go there. So it's a little bit tougher at a school like that. But it's amazing when you go up there, man, that baseball stadium and everything. It's absolutely – I'm not even talking about the practice facility, the track. I mean, I remember the track used to be, like, across from where we lived, it was the biggest dump I've ever. My high school track was as good as the college track, you know? So, yeah, it's amazing what they've done. It's really cool.
It's hard to believe when reading that. I mean, you know where they played, but, I mean, no offense to Lakeside, but come on. That's not a facility.
Wow. I played that. That's where I first played my first round of golf, Lakeside.
I mean, that's not a facility where you build a dynasty of college golf. Now,
no.
Carston Creek, that's a totally different
story. Stillwater
story.
National, I mean, Stillwater Country Club was okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was nice, you know. But you're right, man. I mean, Carston Creek, that article is exactly right. Who would have thought that you could build a course like that in the middle of nowhere up there in that area? And it, I'm sure you guys have both been there. It's just, it's out of this world. So really, really cool that Oklahoma State is on the level with other people. It really is.
I have not been to Carston Creek, and I'm saying that loudly because I know a couple guys here go, and you've got to go with
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely, the BD Cup coming up in September, where David takes a bunch of us up there.
Well, how about Jared? How about y'all take me? Jared could at least hold a bag.
Can I be a caddy at least?
Caddy, just walk so around, yeah.
I don't. No offense
don't
to Jared.
Don't go in the woods.
No offense to Jared's golf game, but it would probably take a substantial amount of his check away trying to figure out how to get enough golf balls to finish.
Everybody at that course is you better hit it in the right spot. Because Jared, if you hit it off in the woods, you don't go get
forget it.
No,
because there are some critters in there.
And these little things just stick to your pants.
Okay.
Little deals.
Terrible.
So I feel like I know where you're going. Speaking of money, college players today can make money, for lack of a better term, lack of words, is that they can make money off their likeness and in striking deals. This is major, Jim. This is huge. How much has this changed the game of college athletics?
Oh, man, I don't know, man. I was listening to the Morning Animals a little bit from some of the things that are going on. Some dude in Iowa is going to he's going to go sign autographs at a fireworks place.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback at Miami got 20 grand. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I can't imagine when I was college if somebody gave me 20 grand. I would have been in the Gray Fox Inn going, anybody want a drink? What do you want? Here we go. And then I guess these twins out in Fresno. You know, listen – I've got members of my family that are really good. Like, my daughter is unbelievable at, like, social stuff she does for the magazine she works for. And her husband, I mean, they're all really good. And they've been trying to convince me to do an Instagram page because they believe that I could be an influencer, right? And I'm like, I don't even know what you're all talking about. But this stuff is crazy. And I think that you're going to get some big-name people, but all the little things that people are going to be able to get are going to be – really interesting. So I don't know, man. Look, you guys know this. I'm a capitalist. I want everybody to make the money. If it's legal, make money. I'm in. I love people to make as much money as they deserve to make. But this does scare me a little bit because I just don't know how they're gonna. I don't know how they're gonna be able to enforce everything. You know.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting because you're gonna hear about, say, you know, Spencer Sanders got a deal with Barbara Dyson Ford.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things we think of when we think of endorsements from your name, image, likeness. But what we don't, I know I don't. Is that social media aspect of it and how wizardry these kids are with it. I mean, you mentioned those twins, but just to be able to do a little TikTok dance with somebody's, you know, shirt on and make all the money, I think that's the part that when Pandora's box gets opened, I don't know how in the world you even attempt to try to regulate any of that stuff going on. But maybe you don't. Maybe that's the way that these, you know, you were talking about, you know, the right guard not making as much as the quarterback.
Yeah.
But maybe that's how it happens, is those – you know, they use those tools to equal up what those big contracts are.
You have to have imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be somebody that can go on there and do something that people want to watch, which, by the way, I don't want to watch. I'm not one of those people. I mean, I'm not going on those places. But there are a lot of young people out there that go and do that stuff. So it's going to be interesting to watch. You know what it's going to turn out to be? We just talked about the arms race. It's going to turn out to be an arms race of who can make the most. These dudes, the big-time quarterbacks and stuff like that, they're going to be fighting each other to say, I want to make more than that. I want to be the one that's making the most money. But think about it. What if some dude, let's just bring up Spencer Sanders. What if Spencer Sanders this year makes $500,000? Is that unbelievable for a college kid in any aspect to make $500,000? Because it could happen.
Yeah.
He's the number one guy for the Heisman. I think they said he had over 300,000 followers on Instagram or whatever, one of those things.
Sanders or Rattler?
Rattler, yeah. Yeah. Spencer Rattler, yeah, not Spencer Sanders.
I do it too.
Spencer Rattler, yeah. So I don't know, man. This is going to be it's going to be interesting to watch, and this is just the first day, so
that's what's crazy.
There's a lot coming.
I saw this theory floated around last night. Could it be shift, I think, more to basketball and other sports? Could it keep kids in college longer?
I would say no. It's interesting to think. I mean, I'll just say this. Spencer Rattler, let's say he makes $500,000, and then he's going to get a contract for $22 million. I mean $500,000, yeah. $22 million, why would you go back? You know,
right.
So I think it could – it could maybe help the guy who shouldn't come out in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it helps that guy. Maybe he says, gosh, you know, I'm going to be a second-round pick. I want to leave college, but if I just tighten it out, I can make some good money here, maybe move up. Maybe that helps. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to change the minds of the big guys at all, in my opinion.
Is this the beginning of the end of the NCAA as the governing body of athletics?
Let's hope so. I love what Trammell said yesterday. Did you hear what Trammell said? Tram said – the NCAA came out and said, we're going to let this happen. You know, and then he said, what should happen is that the big players should come out and say, we're going to let the NCAA continue to govern us for a while longer. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I've wanted to get rid of the NCAA for years and years and years. I don't know the answer on the other side, but the NCAA, they've got to be sitting in their offices right now going, fellas, my job that I'm making $350,000 in may not be around for very long. Go home to your wife and say, we better, like, start saving our money because I think the NCAA is in trouble, which I'd be I don't want people to lose jobs, obviously, but I think they need a better governing body.
Yeah, it's not that you don't need one at all. It's just you need one that's run better. And
exactly.
The NCAA, the idea of it is better than the execution of it,
yeah.
Especially over the last 15 to 20 years. It
Absolutely.
Seems like it's just gotten worse and worse as we've gone
they
along.
They just do stupid thing after stupid thing. They can't figure out the right things to do. And this one, you know they fought the heck out of it behind the scenes. You know they did. And then finally said, we're going to change our rules now to let this happen. Oh, well, thank you so much. It was happening whether you changed
That's
the
right.
rules or not.
Yeah,
so,
6 hours away from happening, and now all
yeah,
of a sudden you go, okay.
The governor of Ohio said, do whatever you want, players. And then the NCAA said, oh, yeah, we want you to do anything you want. What a joke they are.
Hey, we've got a few spots left in the KECO Open, Saturday, July 31st. Moran Equipment, one of the big sponsors. Barbara Dyson Ford's been one for all 24 years of this golf tournament. Register at KECOFM.com. Championship flight is the only one that's available. ABC flight's been full for a month and a half now. Huge payout, $8,000 for first, $3,000 for second, $1,000 for third. That's just the tournament. There's also the players' party on Friday night where you might be able to earn some additional money, depending on how confident you are in yourself. KECOFM.com to sign up there. Get in the championship flight. Maybe six spots left. About three of those are kind of spoken for, kind of not. So it's going to fill up fast.
I wish I still played golf, man.
I'd
come out and play.
Come out and play. And our golf course is in fantastic shape right now. So come
out.
All
this rain got to help so much.
It's beautiful.
Talk about food, man.
Bunch of
up
food.
Up and down the course. Bunch
food,
of great food,
drinks. There's like I said, the players' party. Calcutta on Friday night. It's a fun time out at the KEC Open. Saturday, July 31st, right here at Elk City Golf and Country Club.
I was just talking about you, Skinny. You got to love this, Jay. Hey. I get a text from him yesterday. He says, we're probably going to be on Facebook Live, so don't wear a striped shirt. I texted back. I said, I'm a fat boy, dude. I know not to wear a striped shirt, okay? That is one thing you don't have to tell me, so.
27th anniversary, Barbara Dyson Ford is celebrating 27 years also. The President's Award, fifth time when they've won that, and also the Ford Elite One Award as well. Come on out. Nathan will be here, KECO Cool 94, 11 to 1. There's going to be all kinds of food trucks. What was it, Browns, Blue Mountain Smoke, Pacific Brim, Rogers Meat Market, Bouncy Houses for the kids. It's going to be a great day here this afternoon at Barbara Dyson Ford. All right, right before the break, we talked about Mississippi State last night. Won the first national title. First team national title in any sport in the school's history.
Is that not amazing?
Do you know the other two that haven't done it yet?
I think it's Virginia Tech and, oh, my gosh, who's the other one?
It's a Big 12 school.
Kansas State,
that is exactly right.
Man.
So Mississippi State gets off the schneid with a 9-0 win. You know, it was cool to watch. The Mississippi State fans took over Omaha there, especially in the championship
psychotic.
Series. But I thought it was unbelievably hypocritical the entire weekend. ESPN, reporting and promoting how the College World Series is going to set an all-time attendance record and isn't this great and isn't this good, and failing to mention that NC State got kicked out of the thing for the COVID. I just – stuff like that. At some point, and it feels like the NFL with the Indianapolis announcing they're going to be full, so everybody in the NFL is going to be complete capacity. Is this the last time we're going to see something where COVID affects an entire team season, or do we think it's just going to be something we have to live with?
Well, I think if the NCAA is involved, the answer is no. I think we may see it again. The NFL is going to roll. Let's forget. They rolled last year.
Right.
I mean, Roger Goodell. I love the differences between all the commissioners now. It's Adam Silver is just like, what do you want me to do, LeBron? What do you want me to do? I'll do whatever you want to do. And the baseball guy is just an idiot. Manfred, you know, saying, the championship is just a piece of metal. And the things that he's doing are ridiculous. And then you got Gary Bettman over there in the NHL that nobody likes, although he's been there for 3 million years. And then you got Roger Goodell who says, really? You want me to do this? No, I'm going to do this. Oh, my wife said this? No, sweetie, I'm going to do this. They're so different. And the NFL is going to keep rolling. The NCAA, I think we might see something stupid with the NCAA. You're right. There'll be 100,000 people in the stadium, and they won't let guys come near each other. Like, oh, this guy's got the COVID, blah, blah, blah. I'm so sick of it, man. I wish that they would go by some of the facts now. You know, the facts are is that these kids at that age, of course they can get it. Of course it can be bad. But it's minute. It is so small. It's ridiculous. So are we going to, for the rest of our lives, anything that is like that, we're going to treat it like this? I just think we're continuing. We just need to stop. And so the answer is yes. And the NC State thing was just a crime, man. It just was a shame. I just can't imagine. Can you imagine being a player who grew up your whole life wanting to play in the College World Series, and you're there, and then suddenly, boom, they take you out, and you got a chance to win it? I was in that position and played in the championship game, and I just can't imagine if they would have taken us down. So I don't know, man. That's a really sad deal. Obviously, Mississippi State's good. Vanderbilt's good. But NC State deserved better.
Yeah, and we always think about the guys, okay, well, this one's getting drafted. This one's getting going on to Major League Baseball. But the truth of it is there's a ton of those guys that's going to be their athletic highlight of their life.
Some of them are going to be accountants.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they try to work so hard your entire life to reach that summit, and then just to have it pulled out from underneath you, it's ridiculous.
It's terrible. I mean, again, I might have said this to you guys on Monday. If there had been, like, family members and friends in the stands, if there had been 1,000 people, I might have understood
right.
But when the place is packed up and when they show the crowd, there's no mask going on. I mean, they're cranking it up. And then these dudes on the field, that happens. It's cat, as my wife likes to say, it's cattywampus.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's messed up. It's the wrong thing. So, but hopefully it'll change. By the way, Jared's going to find out all about it when he gets on that airplane here in a little while. Wait till you see that.
Dreading it in about a
what
week.
What a fiasco that is.
Absolutely dreading
Put
it.
Put your mask on!
It's not me I have to worry about. It's my kids. They hang down by the ear and below the nose, like
trouble.
You said.
Well, guess what? Wherever you're going to, they're going to open the door and there's going to be marshals walking in going, give me that little girl right there. We're taking her in.
She'll go, okay, I'll go as long as I take my iPad. That's what she'll say.
Oh, that's the iPod's important.
Yeah. Hey, so you saw, Skinny, did you see the news? We were talking about, you know, the old John Rahm thing. How the positive could be is that, okay, they'll change up some protocols maybe. And it looks like the PGA came out and said, okay, now we'll change it up a little bit. And I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, if you're vaccinated, no more testing, no more mask, you're good to go.
Sure.
That's the positive. So could we see that more in sports moving forward? You know, like the Chris Paul thing, we thought that was ridiculous too.
Did we ever find out? Did he get it?
No, I don't think we ever found out.
I mean, look, okay, we all make mistakes. But if you, Skinny, and you, Jared, decide to do something and I see it happening and I'm doing something different and I like what you're doing, I will probably go by, but I probably should do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
The minute the golf thing happened, every other sport should have had a meeting and said,
that's right.
Okay, let's figure this out because that doesn't look good. By the way, the NCAA should have done it.
Uh-huh.
They might have done something different in the World Series. But no, these are our protocols. But it's not all their fault. I mean, there's government leaning on top of them.
Sure.
But, yeah, let's adjust to what's happening. We all know. You know, they're talking about this new strain and everything, and I don't want to go crazy. But the new strain, from what I understand, I've heard doctors say it's not as bad as the other one.
Right.
And it's going to be covered by the vaccine, maybe not as strongly, but it will be. We can't close our lives down again, man. Our country fell apart. So in sports, look at what, look at the data and look what's happening in other places. The golf thing, every sport should have gone, man, that doesn't, man, we better figure something out, man. Let's look at our protocol again, you know?
That's right.
But anyway, it's, I hope by football we don't talk about this anymore. I really do.
That's kind of was going to be my last question. Do you think maybe once football gets rolling, we're done? Because think of this. Those same NC State kids that they kicked out of that tournament could have sat in the stands last night.
Oh, I know. Yeah, sure they could have. Absolutely. That's a great point. Yes. When football rolls around, I think they're going to get rid of this mass mandate in the airports and airplanes and everything. I think it's September 13th, if I'm not mistaken. Hopefully they'll start earlier, but I doubt it. So that's going to be the second week of college football and the first week of the NFL. At that time, let's just stop. You know, this should be the mandate now. If you want to wear a mask, go for it. If you don't, don't. That's what it should be. I mean, it's just got – we've gone overboard. So the answer is, yeah, I think football is now the national pastime.
Yeah.
Football is number one. I think football will say, we're done. I promise you, Roger Goodell, you know, oh, my gosh. Is anybody except me tired of watching these basketball players on the sideline with their mask over their daggone
after last night's game.
Yeah.
It was
– it's ridiculous. On the sideline, they're showing these dudes their mask is over their chin.
Yeah.
What is that doing?
We had the two winning coaches hug each other, one with mask under chin,
that's
one
right.
not wearing a mask.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It
here?
Is ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, we got about 5 minutes. I got one more question if
okay.
we got time
Go
for
ahead.
It. I'm looking in this building, especially over there in the corner, there's a lot of Elk City High School sports history
mm-hmm.
over there. We got Coach Hunt, we got McClure, Quentin.
Coach Nichols. Yeah.
Let's go in, of course, Dyson over there. What advice, Jim, would you – because we got – you know, it's summertime, and I'm sure we got some high school kids in the area listening. What advice would you give those kids? How do they take it to the next level? We've got a lot of great athletics out here in Western Oklahoma. How do they get to that next level?
Number one thing is work hard in school. Number one. I tell that – when people bring their kids in to see me, maybe I sign an autograph, talk to them, I always ask them, how you doing in school? And the parents will go, oh, they're really good. And I say to the kids, I say, listen – it doesn't matter how good you are, you better do good in school. That's the number one thing. As far as sports are concerned, find what you love to do and work every single day to get better. Every day. And you'll never – I hear these superstars say, I need to do something better. That makes me feel really good. Because guess what? These kids in high school, they're not superstars.
Yeah.
But you got to get better at something. If you're a football player and you're a wide receiver and you catch but you're not a good blocker, work on blocking. If you're a quarterback, you know, let me tell you something. As a quarterback, I had a good arm and I had a really good brain. I wasn't very good at my I was very lazy at, like, handoffs and, like, fakes and stuff. And I never worked as hard as I should have. Now, I wasn't going to the NFL, but you know what I'm saying? I never worked as hard as I should have at that stuff because that stuff was trivial to me. I want to throw the ball, read defenses, and get after it. But those little things are the things that move you up. In baseball, I did work at those things because I thought I could get to the next level. Didn't work as hard as I should. You know, I openly admit that. I did not work as hard as I should. You don't want to. I don't have regrets. I'm not a regretful guy. I mean, if you'd have told me 30 years ago or 40 years ago, hey, you're going to play 3 years in the big leagues, that I would have been happy. But you always look back and say, I should have done this, I should have done that. You do not want to, when you're 30 years old, go, man, if I'd have worked harder, maybe I could have done that. So give it your all. That's the most important thing. Give it your all. Work hard at what you don't do well. It's easy to work hard at what you do well, right? I could sit in the cage all day and hit and hit and hit, but I really worked on my defense and became a very good defensive first baseman because I knew that would help me. So that's my advice to kids, man. Do really well in school and work really hard at things you're not very good at.
And if you
say it.
By the way, you have to be able to admit that you're not good at
something.
That's
right.
Too.
That's
another
right.
thing.
Shaping the minds.
And if you
shaping
do that, you might have your own day, like Bobby Bonilla does today with his $1.19 million, and he's still got all the way to 2035.
Is that incredible? They owed him, what, $6.2 million, and he couldn't pay them, so they gave him – he's going to end up getting $29
yes.
million.
Yes.
Is that a beautiful thing?
I mean, that's just
– that agent was a brilliant dude,
and, man. And we were talking about this yesterday. The agent, somebody, whoever, or maybe it was Bobby Bonilla, whoever it
maybe.
Was, to think about, now, wait a minute. I don't want that $5.9 million right now because I'm going to get 30 later on. Just to have that foresight and not just take the money and run.
I also, by the way, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but he also had written in that if he was dead, it would go to his heirs.
Yes, it's always going to happen.
That's right, which, by the way, if he wouldn't have done that, there's chances that they would have fought and they wouldn't have got it. So it was a brilliant – I knew – I played against Bobby Bonilla in A-ball when he was with the Pirates. And he was a lot smarter than people gave him credit for. He was a tremendous baseball player. People ripped on him because, you know, remember in the playoffs and stuff, he did some things. But he's a really good baseball player. And I'll tell you what, every year, what is it, 1.12 million?
Yeah, 1.19.
Yeah, that's nice. That'd be nice if you
and then,
up your paycheck.
But he's also got another one that stems from the Mets and the Orioles for $500,000, and it runs through, what was it, 2029?
Yeah.
So today – he gets 1.69 million.
How would you like if you called your bank today and you said you'd get your balance and it said your balance is 1,230. It's then it says also today it's 1,300,000. That'd be a beautiful thing, man.
All right, we got to wrap it up. Jim, thanks so much for coming out tonight.
I love coming out here, man. I appreciate it very much.
Everybody else come out. Barber Dyson Ford celebrating 27 years, celebrating the two customer service awards all afternoon long. There'll be food from multiple food trucks. And today is about the customers here at Barber Dyson Ford. So come out, hang out with them, and come see Jim for just a little bit. Jim, thanks so much again.
All right, thanks.
It's been the Skinny on Sports live on site from Barber Dyson Ford here in Elk City.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.